Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Albrock and Gester, and we are glad to be with you. If you missed anything there with Jalen Thompson, honestly, it became too much to cover in not enough time. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. We will get Jalen in next week, of course, to dig more into what we sort of teased to there at the end. He thinks, yes, aggressive at the trade deadline, and yes, bats would be what are in play here, which, Tommy, make a ton of sense, right? Like, that's kind of what we're all thinking they need. The interesting part of that, though, is which ones? Who is left out? Do you look for a center fielder now with, you know, Jack Caglione playing right and the value enhanced of what Kyle Isbell needs to bring the team defensively? Are you ready to put Drew Waters and Mark Canha on, you know, do something else? Like, all these little things that you got to think about now, because if Caglione is locked into the outfield, which he probably will be, then India is going to have to be probably locked into second base. And so there really aren't a lot of places to go get bats. Now, they could get lower level bats to be sort of platoon guys, but they have lots of those. So this will be interesting, like, to see how they try to navigate this. And honestly, it lends itself to making a bigger splash, because it has to be like a no doubter. This player makes us better than whoever it is that they're replacing, who all the players we could imagine getting replaced at this point have been fairly productive this year.
Yeah, I think Jalen makes a really good point. You know, he's talking about how the Royals have been willing to make moves on players that are not producing. They have not sat on their hands this year. You know, they made the move with MJ Melendez. They made the move with Hunter Renfro. Both of those were much needed. Those guys were abysmal. And, you know, I think with Melendez, the Royals still feel like they can hopefully get something out of him down the road. That's why they didn't, you know, totally let him go. They just moved him down to AAA. But with Hunter Renfro, that experiment is done and gone. You know, they tried Kevin Biggio for a while, and he didn't really produce. They DFA'd him as well, and then he accepted a minor league assignment. They have made moves with players that have gotten good amounts of playing time this year. Michael Massey is kind of the odd man out at this point. And it's simply primarily because he's not producing at the plate. And now with those other guys gone, it illuminates the light even brighter on his shortcomings so far this season. And also knowing what he was able to do a year ago. If you'll recall, Michael Massey was one of their better offensive players last season. Like, he had pop, and he was hitting home runs. And, you know, he wasn't, I don't think his average was particularly high.
You spent a lot
high.
Of time last year giving me a hard
I
time.
I liked
for not
Michael Massey last year. I felt I like Michael too. Massey was, you know, was producing at a high level offensively a season ago. And, you know, through the first 2 months of the regular season this year, it really was, I think the fact that you had Melendez and Renfro playing so poorly, that sort of shielded Massey and criticism from him because he wasn't as bad as those guys. But as soon as those two guys are out of the way, well, then it shines a light pretty brightly on the shortcomings of Massey so far this year.
Yeah, and it's hard because you know, over time, you really like the players. Like
and now
really
they have Jonathan learned. India, where last year they didn't, and so Massey was locked into second base. This year, it's a lot different because they do have India.
I mean, he is just above the Mendoza line at 204. Drew Waters and Mark Canna. So this is where it gets really interesting. So Isbell, Waters, Canna. I think Isbell has added value now as Cags learn how to play right field. He can cover up a little bit if Cags has some deficiencies early on. Canna and Waters sort of become and have been, I mean, they're both hitting like 280 this year. Like, you know, Waters 282, Canna 264, right? They're getting on base when they're out there at a decent enough clip. They're just not hitting for any power. But as far as like platoon players that teams would trade for, that's kind of what those two guys are. So you're not, I don't think you'd want to bring in another one of the, like you already have those guys. Like between those three, you have rotational bench type pieces. So if you're going to bring somebody in and India now is going to play second base because Garcia is locked in at third, it's going to have to be for a significant, no doubt about it, this guy will start all the time kind of player. And maybe center field makes the most sense. But Kyle Isbell is having a nice season offensively too. By his own standard, he's been the best offensive player of those three names we listed. So I don't know if they make a trade, and I think they will too. It's going to have to be for a big time asset, I think. I don't think it's going to be like a platoon type outfielder. They already have that. They have three of them, and all three are handy, and I'd like to see all three stick around. If they go, and unless one of them are involved in a trade, if they go make that trade, it's got to be for somebody that becomes an everyday starter to me anyway.
Well, I absolutely agree. They're not going to go and make a trade for a part-time player, a platoon player, you know, somebody that can help them a little bit of the time. If they're going to make a change, if they're going to be aggressive at the trade deadline, it's going to be for an impact bat. It's going to be for somebody else. And it might very well be left field. I could see it maybe even potentially being right field and moving Cags pretty much solely to DH at that point, but then that limits what they want to do with Salvi and Vinny. So I would imagine it'd be like left field would probably be the way they would look at that, because I do feel like Kyle Isbell has solidified his place in the lineup number one and his place on the field number two. And you could be, you know, maybe he could move to left field, but I think he plays a pretty decent center field. So I would feel okay with rolling with him. So, but they're going to try to, if they're going to make a move for a bat, it's not going to be a part-time player or somebody else that they can platoon. You mentioned it. I agree with you. They've got a lot of those guys already. It's going to be a high-impact, everyday-type player, somebody who can be a difference maker day in and day out.
Or it's not a batter. It's not a hitter. It's more relief to the bullpen. I don't think they would. I don't think they need anything to the rotation as of right now, but you never say no to that. You never don't look, right? I don't know. I think it all depends on the next couple of weeks. If you see Cags infuse a little power into the lineup, if you see Salvi and Vinny sort of pick it up as we think they have, if Bobby Witt Jr. picks it up if those guys get to what they normally do, with Cags there, I'm not sure the most pressing need then is a bat, even though that's the thing that's been so terrible for them this year. I get it. It, to me, might become a bullpen piece. This rock-solid bullpen that we've been talking about now with Urshig hurt, Harvey still hurt. Estevez, thank goodness, has been really good, but it's pretty shaky. I mean, Zerpa, I still, like, cringe. He's just too hittable. I think it's a bullpen piece. If Cags does what he can do and the other guys get back to their norm, I'm thinking of that a bullpen for this team. I think a bullpen piece might be more pressing. Canna and Waters can give you righty lefty matchups. So if you believe in Isbell's defense, like, I don't know.
I think some of it is going to come down to how does the offense overall, how does that pan out between now and the trade deadline with Cags in the lineup? Like, rising tide lifts all boats. Having Cags in the lineup, does that make the offense overall better? And if so, then maybe it's not a pressing need to go after another bat. This is interesting. I want to get your thought on this. So ESPN Major League Baseball insider Jeff Passan posted his most recent trade deadline preview. He's got the Royals as aggressive buyers, backing up what Jalen Thompson said. He's suggesting the best fit for the Royals at the deadline would be to go after Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks, the third baseman. And to me, I think that would show that they feel like Michael Garcia can be versatile in the position that he plays, that maybe he can go and play the outfield. You've got a lot of moving parts in this lineup, guys that can do different things and go a bunch of different areas. And really outside of what, like Bobby Witt Jr. playing shortstop, that's about the only position set in stone, right? With one player. I don't know. I feel like Suarez is a power bat. He's a guy that's got a lot of pop in his swing. He can hit a lot of home runs. Do you like that potential move if the Royals go that direction?
He's on a club option this year, so he'd be strictly a rental. You basically are just paying money. Yeah, I do. Like if you can make that only about money, then yes. Because he does provide power, and Garcia can play second. Garcia can play outfield. India can play second. India can play outfield. Yes, I think that could help them because he does a thing that they need pretty desperately. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'd be on board with that kind of a trade. Yes. Does he have the kind of power that plays at Kauffman? Like, I'd really have to dig in, but it's an interesting name for sure. We can hit that as well when we return. We're going to give away some golf when we return.
We've got stadium news. I don't know if you did. You see what I sent you?
Yeah, I got stadium news. You sent me that. I'm going to let you update us on what happened in Missouri because I've not seen that yet. So we've got a lot to get to in the next segment. Stick around. More Sports Daily coming right up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period, that's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Tommy, let's, before we get to the stadium talk and finish our thoughts on Eugenio Suarez, let's get our golf given away here. We got Tim Fitzgerald coming up. We expect later in the hour, so Crestview Country Club, great supporters of the program. You guys have heard us talk about them a million times. They are hooking us up with a round of golf every Friday to give away this month. You don't have to use them on Friday. It's just when we're giving them away. So what it is a texting contest. It's a round of golf for two, cart included. I want you to get out there, check out what we're always talking about, where we have so much fun and enjoy it so much. Get out there, check out the facility, play a little golf. You can do that. All you have to do is text the short code GOLF, the keyword GOLF to the short code 20357. So 20357 is the number you text. GOLF is the word that you text, and that enters you for a chance to win some golf out at Crestview. We'll do this once a week through the month of June. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once per day, and again, we'll draw winners every Friday. And we continue to see a massive, massive turnout on this giveaway, which is exactly what we hope for. We want everybody to get out there and check it out.
Yeah, I mean, it tells me that a lot of you out there, you've heard us talk about Crestview a lot, and you want to go and check it out. You want to go and experience it, play some golf out there. So, of course, you know, you can do that once a day. You can enter that contest. Again, the keyword is golf, and the number is 20357.
Good luck, everybody. Good luck. All right. So, Tommy, enlighten me. I got paywalled on the article you sent me, so I saw the beginning, and then I'm just going to let you lead us on the news of the day as it pertains to stadiums with Royals and Chiefs.
Yeah, the Kansas City Star reported, like in the middle of the night last night, that the Missouri Senate narrowly approved an incentives plan that is intended to keep the Chiefs and the Royals in the state of Missouri. If you'll recall, the last time that this was going through the lawmakers in the state, the House easily passed it. The Senate did not. But this time the Senate has passed it. The House is expected to overwhelmingly pass it because they did last time. So more than likely, this is going to be on the desk of the governor, and more than likely, he's going to sign it. So this is very close to becoming law for the state of Missouri. It's this big incentives plan. But here's the thing about it. From what I've been able to read, they're looking at being able to provide 50% incentive for the Royals and the Chiefs to stay in Missouri. Kansas is providing 70%. So even though even though this is something that the state of Missouri is likely to pass and get through and become law, it's still significantly less than what the state of Kansas is able to do.
And if I'm not mistaken, this money would be used to renovate the current Arrowhead, right?
I think that's correct from what I've been able to read.
So
yes.
That means no dome. That would mean no Super Bowl. The NFL is not coming to play a Super Bowl at Arrowhead in February. So, I mean, look, we're about to find out if this goes through, and that is the offer. We're about to find out how badly Clark Hunt wants to stay in Missouri. I've told you I think he wants to. I think that's their desire, is to continue that. And I get it. That's the family legacy, Arrowhead, the history, all of it. I get it. I've always thought it made more sense for the Royals to be somewhere over there if they can get downtown or whatever. So, you know, I've always been comfortable at a 50-50 shot for Kansas, and I still think that's probably the case. The reason I don't think it's overwhelmingly Kansas is because I think that the Chiefs want to stay in Missouri. I don't think they want to give that up. So we'll see what happens here. I would still call it 50-50.
Well, you know what, the one thing,
not 70%.
What I'm interested in knowing, and this goes back to what you had asked about before, and this article from the Kansas City Star does not, from what I can tell, address this, is apparently the 50% incentive can go to a new stadium as well. I mean, this is what, I mean, so it says, the legislation, if signed into law, would allow Missouri to offer incentives to pay for up to 50% of new or improved stadiums for the teams. So it doesn't look like that limits just to renovation, that it could potentially be new.
I think that's what they've said and proposed that they would do on the Missouri side. Unless I've missed something, I don't know that they've ever proposed a new stadium on the Missouri side. I've always seen it as just renovations to Arrowhead. If that changes and they can put a dome stadium over there, then I think Kansas's chances, I'd probably put it more like 40-60, right? I think the Chiefs would like to stay over there. 70% is more than 50%, though. And if money talks, it's still an easy decision. You go take the 70%. Your proximity and your location don't change. And for the Chiefs, you're getting a better offer than you deserve because you should build your own damn stadiums. So, they're going to pick one of them.
Yeah, the last time that this reached the House, it was overwhelmingly passed. The final vote was 108-40. And so knowing that the Senate passed it this time around and they didn't last time, more than likely this is going to overwhelmingly be passed by the House as well and will go to the governor's desk in Missouri. You know, I think the only thing that could potentially happen, I think it's more likely for the Chiefs than it is the Royals, is that the Chiefs are telling Missouri, look, if you guys can even get close, like if you can give us something, we want to stay in Missouri and we're willing to sort of concede the better deal on the Kansas side.
Just such philanthropists. Right.
Like I could see them going to Missouri and telling them that. I don't think that matters for the Royals whatsoever. I think the Royals are going to go wherever the deal is best. But football is different than baseball.
Kansas gets the Royals and that, not the
I think
Chiefs.
I wouldn't be shocked if that's ultimately where the dust settles, that we see the Royals coming over and Clark Hunt and the Chiefs say, look, we've got such a great history in Missouri and we're willing to take 50% instead of 70 just to stay on the Missouri side. That's not the best financial deal to them, but emotionally, philosophically, that I could see that potentially happening for the
Chiefs.
Because
it was the Royals affiliate that bought that.
Correct.
That bought that land up. Yeah.
Correct.
That could definitely happen. I don't know that I'd like that for Kansas. It's always kind of been like, yeah, we'll take the Royals if we can get the Chiefs.
Considering their star bonds, I don't have an issue with it being the Royals only. Like,
81 games is 81 games,
right? For sure.
Like you can, if you time that right, and the Royals are built on the backs of Bobby Witt Jr. and maybe Jack Caglione, and you're probably going to have a buzz around the team that has them well attended and making some money. You know, it's that fan base has proven over recent memory that when they're good, people come. But, you know, no offense, but when you give them 6 or 7 years of being one of the bottom three teams in baseball, guess what? They don't come. So that's a little bit of the risk there. A Chiefs game is going to sell out if the Chiefs are 0-16. Right. So and you get the multi-use and you get the Super Bowl potential and you get all of those things that come with football. We're about to find out what Clark Hunt wants to do. If he takes less money, then it's all been a leverage play, right? The state of Kansas has been a leverage play to try to get something through Missouri. And that's, you know, that's business. I don't know that people would be, I mean, I don't even know how much people really want this to happen anyway. I think the temperature is cool. I think lawmakers see the potential here and they're trying to do their job the best they know how, but I don't know what the population thinks. Like, does anybody really care? Does anybody around here really care? I don't think they do.
Well, and remember, the whole thing that started this was the Royals anyway. The Chiefs were kind of just along for the ride at the very beginning. I mean, it was John Sherman from day one that was like, we need a new ballpark. We're not going to stay at Kauffman. And then it was kind of like the Chiefs were alongside them, kind of as it was kind of a package deal at first. And then that was swiftly voted down by the taxpayers in Jackson County. And so from that point on, they've kind of split. Like, they haven't really been working together on this. It wouldn't shock me if Clark Hunt says, we feel loyal to Missouri. And so if you can even get close, if you can get to 50% and this ends up passing, and we at least know that we can renovate Arrowhead, or we know that we've got the opportunity. I mean, one thing that the Chiefs could potentially look at is if they end up staying at the Truman Sports Complex, even at 50%, and the Royals leave, then they've got that entire complex right at that point. And they can do a lot of different things at that complex. You could build an entire village around a new and renovated Arrowhead. It probably wouldn't be a dome necessarily, but it could be a pretty cool area if the Royals vacate and then the Chiefs have that entire plot of land to do with what they want.
Yeah, and I don't know that you'd put a dome on that stadium because you're not drawing in Final Fours to a baseball stadium and doing those kinds of things that you could potentially do with a football stadium. I would be fine with it. You're getting 81 dates guaranteed, right, in a baseball stadium, and probably an all-star game at some point in those other, you know, tertiary things. It would be more appealing than Children's Mercy Park. It'd be a whole lot more expensive, of course, but I just pulled this up for the Royals, by the way. So the Royals this year are at about 21,000 fans per game, almost 1,000 up from last year. So from 2015, 16, 17, they were up like over 30 on average. They started to climb a little bit last year. They're sort of matching, or they're actually a little ahead of where they were last year. And I would suspect if they stay in the mix, if they heat up, and that's still gonna, you know, that's still gonna climb a little bit. So you're getting the fans ramped back up to a level sort of middle of the pack in Major League Baseball, which is a really nice achievement, I think, for a small market team. So, you know, the momentum and the timing is good. The question is, when is the stadium done? Are the current players still a part of it, or are you really betting that the organization can stay relevant even after this current generation, which, you know, it's been a good start for John Sherman and company for sure.
And they've got Bobby Witt locked in, you know, long-term. So, you know, he's not,
well, when is the stadium built? 2031. I mean, we're talking 6-7 years from now.
Well, the lease is up at Kauffman at Truman Sports in 2030. So they would have to be done by then. They'd have to be in a new place by then.
Five seasons from now. So you'd get a little bit. Yeah, a little bit probably. So
a little bit of what? A little bit of Bobby Witt? You'd get a lot of Bobby Witt still. Like, he's 24, 23.
If you sign him to a second contract, you get a lot of Bobby Witt. Right.
It's an 11-year deal, right? Like, he's under an 11-year contract, I believe.
Let me see what age he'll be. I think, let's see real quick. He did, but it started and it buys out arbitration. So he is a free agent potentially. Oh yeah. 2038. Yeah, opt out start though in 2031. That's what it is. So he could opt out right as they're building a new stadium, and he'll be making $35 million a year at those points. If all things continue, he will opt out in 2031. By the way baseball salaries go, he could make $60 million a year, like the way we're headed, the way the trends are headed for star players. So it doesn't, I mean, that's down the road, and he loves Kansas City, and they may pony up. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. But that's all there for you. There was news that Missouri finally got something done, which is what we've been waiting for. And now basically a 3-week countdown is going to be on. Kansas isn't coming with more to the table. So if Missouri pushes this through, the Chiefs will have a decision to make. And that'll be, you know, and then the Royals become another storyline to follow. But as far as the Chiefs, are they going to take less money to stay over there? I think, again, there's at least a 50-50 chance that yes, they would.
Yeah. You know, as a betting man, I would probably say at this point, assuming that Missouri passes this deal, and it looks likely that they will, I think at the end of the day, when the dust settles, we'll probably have the Royals in Kansas and the Chiefs will probably stay in Missouri. I think Clark Hunt and the Chiefs would be willing to take less to stay in Missouri. They just want something from the state of Missouri. I think they'll be loyal in that regard. So that would be where I would suggest that the dust settles. Now, if something crazy happens,
the Royals can get downtown Kansas City, though. They might take 50 instead of 70.
I don't know. I don't know if they would. I mean, like, I think it's different financially for Major League Baseball, for the Royals. I think knowing the way that, you know, small market teams operate, John Sherman is going to want all the help he can possibly get. He's going to want the best financial deal possible. There's no shortage of money in the NFL. So that's why I think loyalty may win out for Clark Hunt. I don't think it's that way with John Sherman necessarily. You know, you've got Clark Hunt's dad and, you know, all the different things that he did in on the Missouri side and all of that. It wouldn't shock me if that's what ends up happening. Now, on the flip side of that, if something happens and Missouri doesn't pass the deal, then all bets are off and both teams are probably more likely to come to Kansas. But it does look fairly likely that Missouri will pass this deal.
I agree. I agree. We'll just have to. Well, I've put it in the hands of Clark Hunt, honestly. Like, that's what it's going to come down to. Speaking of the Chiefs, Rick brought this up. Trey Smith sitting out is one interesting thing to watch. I don't know how much that matters. I think that it's pretty much just him. He's on a franchise tag, so he's not showing up to voluntary workouts. And I think that's probably fine. I don't think there's a holdout threat at all, at least not from what I've read. I this is different than Chris Jones. Trey Smith's about to get a ton of money as a guard if he plays on the tag. Not doing the non-mandatory workouts, it's almost like protection. You don't want to be on a franchise. Like, you don't want to go get hurt there. So you gotta minimize all those risks as best you can. And that's pretty par the course for this kind of stuff. So I don't know that this is all that surprising. And I don't get the sense, I don't know if you've seen anything different. I don't get the sense that there is any contention. As they say, you know, they're going to say they're still trying to work on a long-term deal. I'm sure they are. I doubt that happens, but I'm sure they're talking. But it sounds like it's not really that big a deal.
I'm actually a little surprised that they haven't gotten a long-term deal done.
Really?
I am, because remember, they were able to, and at least initially, free up some money. And you would think that, you know, at least the way that my brain connected the dots was that they moved Joe Tooney and they basically traded a longer term deal for Joe Tooney to hopefully have a longer term deal for Trey Smith. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed Trey Smith to the franchise tag. I think that in my mind, the goal was to get Trey Smith locked up long term. Otherwise, you let him walk in free agency as opposed to tagging him. I was surprised when they did tag him, but then my immediate thought after they moved Joe Tooney was, okay, I understand why they're franchise tagging Trey Smith so they can have some money to be able to then sign him long term. So I am a little surprised that it has not happened by now.
I get it. I think that was what we initially thought, but when then we saw them literally bring everybody back, I think at that point it was like, actually, that's what they're using that money for. I think they're pretty comfortable letting Trey Smith, because they already have it budgeted that way, for letting him play on this tag. I don't know if they know what they want to do long term.
But don't you think also that, you know, I know that the overall cost of the deal and everything is going to be pretty large for Trey Smith for a long term deal, but your average that you're paying out per year, I mean, you can defer things. I think it would be more financially beneficial for the Chiefs to not have him play on the tag than what guards end up getting on the franchise tag.
What would they do with the money this year at this point?
At this point, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's why I'm surprised it hasn't happened. Like, I don't think it's going to happen right this second.
Right. So
had it been done a month ago or whatever, like, I feel like it would have been a lot more beneficial for them.
What benefit do the Chiefs have? This is why I don't think anything is going to get done. What benefit do the Chiefs have by doing a long-term deal right now? I don't think they have one at this point. Like, Trey Smith is the most expensive he'll ever be right now. His price tag isn't going to go up. If he plays on the tag this year, it'll be the same price tag. I just don't know. Like, if the Chiefs are working on long-term deals, to me, it should be with Trent McDuffie. That's who I would be working on along, because his price tag will go up. I think Trey Smith's at peak price. So if they already have him budgeted in this year, I don't know what gain right now they have by doing a deal versus next offseason. I guess is what, I mean, maybe they really are. They could be. I'm not saying, I don't say that with like supreme confidence. I just can't see what their benefit would be. But we'll get into that as we make our way through OTAs.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. It is Jake Valbrockton, Tommy Caster, and we are glad to be with you here on a Thursday. We are glad to be joined by buddy Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, running things there. You can find him on X at Life of Fitz. Fitz, we have entered a slower season. How is the summer treating you so far?
It hasn't been slow. I mean, K-State basketball and football both had commitments yesterday, and there's a camp in town today, and I like it when things kind of start clicking. It was May that I struggled with. There was just nothing going on in terms of, football, basketball at Kansas State.
You had a big birthday, too, just the other day. How was your birthday?
Yeah. It was good. You know, you really stop celebrating birthdays usually as you get old, but now I celebrate them because I wasn't supposed to be having these birthdays.
Yeah.
So it's good. It was good. We sat around a fire pit without a fire because it was too hot, but and hung out with some friends. It was awesome.
Fitz, we're happy that you had a happy birthday.
It was nice.
My son's birthday yesterday.
My son's birthday's today.
Well, would you look at that?
I know.
We're just rocking and rolling. Tell me about this international player for K-State. Seems like not a huge deal, kind of a body, not certainly the type of player we saw come in from Serbia, at least on paper, and this is where I defer to you. Is there a bigger expectation? I saw what he's have, like 4 points a game in Germany? What are we looking at here?
Yeah, he was playing at a higher level, I believe. And
okay.
I think it's just so hard to say. This is why it's hard to have international, because there's different leagues, there's different levels, there's things going on. I think he's a pretty good player. We saw some stuff of him. He kind of has a I don't want to use this comparison to scare anyone, a Coleman Hawkins type of game. Kind of a casual, easy scorer and great passer. And guys, I'm just really fascinated how they're going to put all the parts together. Because I think they want another big man, but they're kind of full on the roster right now. I just don't know how this is all going to shake out, because they've got some really nice pieces. How they all fit together is the big question.
I think, even more than just this individual international player coming in for Kansas State, just the overall offseason for Jerome Tang and how active they've been. And you contrast that with how quiet the Jayhawks have been. Like, they've done nothing and they've missed out on a bunch of players. And it seems like Jerome Tang's been able to get, like you mentioned, some really nice pieces, especially when you compare and contrast that to their arch rivals down the road.
Well, this is what surprises me about that. Is in today's game, it's not just about how good your coaches are, how active your coaches are, but what's your NIL? Let's be honest. I mean, some of it comes down to, do you have the money to spend? And K-State's got a group of donors that are very active and interested in getting basketball back to where it was for 50 years. That was, unfortunately, 40 years ago. So it's going to just kind of take the right formula, but some donors are spending money, and that honestly surprises me that Kansas is having a financial issue, if it is, with getting players, because that just doesn't kind of make sense. But again, this is the incredible change in the game and how it realigns coaches' abilities, and Bill Self's a great coach, but is he struggling with the portal? And if so, that's not a good sign for the future. But Jerome Tang has won players out of the portal and yet still struggled with the portal because he hasn't hit the right formula. We'll see if this one is.
All right, Fitz, you said football made an addition. I missed that one. Enlighten us. What happened with Kleiman's crew?
Quarterback Miles, I should have a roll of all of my trying to pronounce names for the first time. Miles Tedeki, T-E-E-O, quarterback out of Austin, Texas. Left-hander, unconventional, but led his team to a state title last year. And I was a little surprised that they zeroed in on a quarterback this early, but they really like this kid. And I can't wait to talk to some of the coaches off the record to figure out what it was about him that they pulled the trigger on.
I'd love to know, and I know we're talking football right now. I do want to ask you about baseball real quick. So, of course, Kansas State, they played in the regional. They lost to Texas, the top seed. This is the second year in a row that that K-State was able to be in the postseason. Where do you feel like this program is headed? Are we looking at consistent postseason appearances for this program? Are they continuing their ascent?
I think that's the standard now. And but what's going on in football and basketball has been going on in baseball since day one. You kind of had to rebuild your roster between the draft and unlimited transfers. It's been a mess in baseball for a long time. And I think he's kind of zeroed in on a formula, the type of player he wants to get to Manhattan. And they just didn't quite click at the end of the season. They had some stretches of playing really good baseball. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to arms, too. And I think they lack their one big arm that they had the year before.
I want to get your take on this, Fitz. I was out the last time you were here, so forgive me if you guys talked about this last week. But the big debate right now on the format of basically whether it would be 5 plus 11 or 4, 4, 2, 2, at 1 and at-larges – I personally, and I think I'm in the minority on this, I think taking two guaranteed bids for the Big 12, even though there would be fewer at-larges, would be a much better deal for the Big 12. Just looking back, without Texas and Oklahoma, there aren't very many years the Big 12's ended with two teams in the top 16. I think getting two is kind of a win for the league. I would imagine you disagree with that, though.
Well, a lot of people agree with you. I think where the ADs and presidents and Brett Yormark want to back away from that is that's an admission that the other two conferences are twice as good.
But they kind of are. Like we got to look at whether they are or they're not, they're going to end up that way in the rankings, whether they make this change or not.
Yeah. So I think that's the conundrum they're in. But, you look at last year, they would have had two in at 16. BYU should have been in and would have certainly been in with four more spots, along with, three SEC teams probably. But it's the next step of this process is guarding the process of selection, because I think Greg Sankey's and ESPN have made it pretty clear that they're willing to corrupt the process to their own advantage. Which is nonsense, but it's going to be really tough for the Big 12 and the ACC to guard against the selection process being corrupted. But I don't think the ADs have any interest in admitting that they're half the conference of what the Big 10 and SEC are. And I don't particularly see it that way either. So as they've said at around the conferences, you just got to go win. You just got to, the conference has to be better. And I think settling is a good way to not get better. And I think they see that too.
Yeah, I understand it. I just like the reality is, I think if you can guarantee me two Big 12 teams, I don't think that's happening very often. If you go to 5 plus 11, I think there are going to be a lot of years where the Big 12 gets one. It had been that way last year. minute. And without Texas and Oklahoma, it had probably been that way a lot of years.
Now, BYU would have been at 16 teams. BYU would have been in last year.
Were they at 16?
So, yeah, I mean, they're around in there. So, I don't know. It's a mess. And the only reason I think I feel really unsettled about it is the rhetoric coming from Greg Sankey and the SEC. They made it very clear that they don't give two craps about college football. They just want the money. And that's really what's going to destroy college football.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be worth watching. We'll see. The other conferences are standing up for themselves. The answer is for the Big 12 and the ACC to merge. That's the real answer, Fitz. Yeah. Get in the room that way. What do you guys have going at Go Power Cat this week?
Well, there's a camp today at football. Hopefully the weather holds up. So maybe we'll have some stuff out of that. And, just doing our normal summer thing of podcasts and breaking information and doing breakdowns of position groups. Just your typical summer fare. And, of course, whenever you're short-staffed and guys are on vacation, that's when the news breaks. So that's how that works all summer long.
So we expect some more to break here soon.
Yeah, maybe. Yep.
Fitz, happy belated birthday.
Thank you, boys. Good to hear from you. It's better than the alternate.
That's true. There goes Tim Fitzgerald, publisher, gopowercat.com, at Life of Fitz on X. I look at that way too much on what would it be for the Big 12. I think two teams would be great. Yes, the other leagues would get four. I guess I look at it the reality, like, what are the chances in the Big 12 you get that much cream rising to the top every year? To me, the Big 12 feels like a really even league. And most years, you're going to probably have three losses at the top because the league is even. And that's fun in the regular season. I mean, we like that, right? But I don't. Texas and Oklahoma, I just think those chances are low.
I think short term, yes. I think that what Brett Yormark is banking on is that we see the Big 12 grow to a point to where you've got some teams that rise above and that can be in the top 10, top 5 in college football. There were a couple of teams last year that were in the top 15 at least, but they need the conference to take that step forward. So I do agree with you in the short term. Yeah, it's a pretty evenly matched league with a lot of parity and teams beating up on each other and all of that. I think long term, Brett Yormark's goal is for that not to be the case in the Big 12.
Maybe so, but is it realistic? I think becomes
that becomes the question. That's the question.
It's a perception thing. I get it. Like, you don't want them, as Fitz pointed out, you don't want them to appear or to have that leg up as, you know, twice as powerful or whatever. I do understand that part to some degree. I'm just afraid if they go 5 plus 11, there are gonna be a lot of years where the Big 12 only gets one team in a 16 team playoff, and that's gonna sting because you'll have a situation where teams have three or four losses. And I don't know. I don't know how it'll all shake out. But again, I've said this from the beginning. They have a seat at the table. I'm not going to complain, however that shakes out. That is the only part of this that had to be there for college football to be what it currently is. And that is a national interest sport and not regional, is for all these leagues to have a place at the table. They do. I got to just be good with that. I think it's just really interesting strategically, not, you know, philosophically or anything else, just strategically only. Like, you guarantee in Big 12 two teams? Heck yeah. Sign me up for that. We'll see how it all shakes out. Probably. I don't know. I don't know what I would guess. I'm going to guess it goes the way the SEC wants it to. That's what I'm going to guess.
100%.
They're going to get their way. That's going to do it for a Thursday here on Sports Daily. Tommy, as we tell people what's on tap for the day, it's pretty easy today. It's Royals baseball.
Cannot wait. Doubleheader, baby. Let's go.
Let's see if we can go sweep St. Louis. Why not? Just get it done. They'll go today with a couple of games, 12:45. So you'll get 12:30 coverage beginning here on KFH for the first one, 6:30 coverage beginning for the second one. And we'll be back tomorrow to talk all about it. Thanks for being here with us, everybody. For Max, for Tommy, thanks to Jalen, thanks to Fitz. We'll see you tomorrow.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.